Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello everybody, how are you? Hope you're well. Welcome back to The Shift. This week's guests are with Caitlin Reese and Oscar Iden. Now they're two comedians based in New York City. And we recorded this episode 2 weeks ago, but I was very excited to have them on. I sent them both a message saying, look, I'd love to do an episode on The Shift about non-heterosexual relationships. So Caitlin identifies as queer and Oscar is a gay man, and we just chatted about all of those labels, what it means. They shared about their coming out experiences. They gave great tips and advice. They were amazing. Oscar talked about like what douching is and what that entails. And then Caitlin talked about her different relationships, and she explained actually what queer means as well. And she was just absolutely amazing. Both of them were. So we had great chats. And now just a heads up, the end of it. So we kind of said goodbye, but then we were privately having the chats on Zoom afterwards, and I thought of another question to ask them. So I just turned back on the record button. So the audio might be a little worse for that end bit, and that's why it's kind of like, okay, goodbye, here's their Instagrams, and then we jump back into another question just because I thought of when I was chatting with them privately, then just like just having the crack afterwards after doing the podcast, I said, oh shite, actually can I ask this question as well? So that's just why that's like that. But if you also want to see the video for this, the video is up on the Patreon, and on the Patreon, which will be linked in here, and it's just /The Shift Podcast. Next week's episode is up there already because I recorded that with two lads I know off the Asian Not Asian podcast. So that's up there as well. So the video for this episode, and then the video and the audio is up early as well. And then the audio without the ads as well, is all of that's up there on the Patreon. And then solo eps every Sunday as usual. Like just talking a little bit more about private dating life and stuff. Oh, and also I'll be recording an episode with my friend, and I'm really, really fucking excited for you guys to hear that episode, because a friend of mine, he has this book called She Comes First, and he's also just hysterical. He did go to drama school and he's Irish, so it's just naturally hilarious. But he's going to come on and we're going to do an episode about this book. So I don't know if any of you have read it. I haven't read it myself. And we'll meet up and we'll chat about it. But he said it like all lads need to read it. He was like, they need to educate themselves. So yeah, and then we also have an episode with a sex therapist on Wednesday, and she's coming on. So if you have any questions for her, she mainly talks about like kind of working with women on how to orgasm or how to enjoy sex and the difference between arousal and desire. So that will be, I'll be recording that, oh, so technically tomorrow. Jesus, it's 4 a.m. here in America. So technically tomorrow, Wednesday, 12 o'clock. So if you have any questions, get that into me, either email me or DM me. But other than that, enjoy this episode and I'll talk to you at the end. Yeah, she was like, I was watching this documentary, and it's basically a documentary about gay men in the 80s in England. But she was like, did you know about douching? And I was like, I didn't learn about that until I came over here. And then I was thinking about, for people listening to the podcast or based in Ireland who don't know just about other sex stuff that I can't talk about because I think I'm straight. I don't really know, but I haven't gone down those other avenues yet. I can't talk about it. So I was like, I'd love to have you guys on to like chat about it, about sex and tips, advice, or what you learned, if you don't mind.
First of all, I just want to say that I am a good Christian woman and I don't do those heathen homosexual things.
Okay, well, I'm going to kick you out of this Zoom.
But my alter ego does. Okay. Yeah.
And so obviously you're gay, you're not bisexual, are you, Oscar?
No, I am a full-fledged homosexual card-carrying American. Yeah.
Nice. And what about you, Caitlin? How do you identify?
I identify as queer, and it used to be that I would say that I was interested in everything but a cis man. So my partner of 10 years was trans and then detransitioned while we were together. I've been in and out of the closet different periods of my life because of that relationship, actually. But I've predominantly dated cis gay women. But I do have experience dating folks who are trans and non-binary.
I just want to say that Caitlin is probably the most progressive person on this podcast. And at me, I'm like so not woke and I'm so not progressive yet. I'm still in like this rapid eye movement of waking up and I'm trying to be woke. So I have so much respect for everybody who's like, this is my identity. This is who I am. I was like, that is great. I still don't know what to say. So I'm just like, I'm a gay man. So I love it.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I know. But you know what, Caitlin? I feel like nowadays, if I just tell people that I'm a gay man, they're like, well, you know, what's the proper term for it? And I was like, I don't know. Gay man? I don't know.
Yeah. Wait, so people aren't accepting you saying gay anymore?
I'm always afraid. I'm so afraid of offending people and not knowing what the right term for LG, because it used to be just LGBT. And now there's LGBTQ, and then there's LGBTQI, and then there's LGBTQIA+. Right. So I'm like, I don't know anymore. So I'm just like, I'm gay.
Yeah. I think the only time that it gets uncomfortable is when older folks who I kind of describe as like capital L, capital G folks, when they have bad gender politics, that's when I think we come into issues where it's like, it feels like queer versus the rest of the alphabet, because the political ideology of some gay people is really not very different from Republicans. Sometimes they just happen to have sex with other people of the same gender. And I think like where the queer stuff comes in is for folks who are way more left-leaning, even more left-leaning than I think like the agenda of most gay folks.
Yeah. And what's interesting is like, I feel like I see that there are some older LGBT people who are like, just LGBT. Like yeah. That, and you know, and that's because that's what they grew up with. They didn't even grow up with that. They grew up with queer, gay, and lesbian, and bisexual, and then transgender started to come along. You know, but I mean, I know gay men who are like, we didn't even say gay. We just said a friend of Dorothy. Like, are you a friend of Dorothy? That's right. How you used to introduce yourself in like the 50s, 60s and 70s. And what's interesting is on straight cruises, if you look at the nightly activities, you'll see friend of Dorothy, which is for LGBTQ people to meet on straight cruises.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't love that, but I love queers being resourceful despite like the systems against them, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I feel like it's also a way of like, if you're queer, you know that you're a friend of Dorothy.
Right.
Can I ask a question? I'm going to just ask the most dumbest ignorant questions as we go along, so please excuse me that. And whoever's listening to this, don't write up a blog about me and be like that dumb cunt. But so if you're queer, what's the difference between queer and bisexual? Sorry.
Oh, Caitlin, you can answer that one because I'm so confused myself because I'm like,
So for me, the reason why I personally wouldn't be bisexual and I'm queer is because I date people who don't, what I'm attracted to has nothing to do with the gender binary. To me, bisexual folks, my understanding of the way I interpret folks who say that they are, that is they're comfortable dating people who are just men and women. I date people that don't identify as having a gender. I've dated folks who are gender fluid, so their gender changes from day to day. So I'm not attracted to people within the definition of a man or a woman, and I don't date that way. So queer makes more sense to me from like a definition standpoint, but it also makes more sense to me from a political ideology in terms of like I come from an anarchist background. I come from an activist background. I was a social worker for 12 years. So to me, when I say queer, I'm trying to flag for people who have my political leanings, not just who they fuck, but also that they're not seeking assimilation with straight people. They're seeking to live and thrive in the margins of community. So because I have like this whole political ideology for me, now to some people that you ask if they're queer, they just mean that like they're just fluent. It can have like much less meaning to folks. But if you look in like, I'm like a nerd. So if you look at like academic studies of like queer studies, there is deep resistance and meaning to identifying as queer. Unfortunately, it's very popular. And so it's lost some meaning. So it's, I think there's like younger folks just think it's like kind of cool and sexy to be like, I'm queer, but they probably do mean for all intents and purposes that they are bisexual. Mm-hmm. For other folks like myself, there's like a lot of nuance to it for me when I say queer. So that's a long-winded way.
Oh, I have two questions. The first one is, you said you don't date cis men. And I was like, oh my God, what is cis men? That's just like straight men, born man.
I mean, yeah, that means folks born as a man and identify as being a man.
Oh.
So like I'm a cis woman because I'm born as a woman and identify as being a woman. If I was versus being a trans woman or like a gender fluid woman or something. Cis just means like you, like I assume you would identify probably as a cis woman. Also, like if you were born a woman and you're comfortable and you identify with that, then you're cis.
Yeah, I'm a cis. I also think I was listening to this podcast and it was saying they had a lesbian woman on and she was saying she gets like frustrated with women who say that they're bisexual. I thought it was kind of unfair in one way, because I do think a lot more women would, like, I would kiss girls and find it very attractive. I just haven't had the confidence to get sexual yet. I nearly did once and I fucking bottled it. But that's just more of a maybe that'll happen. And I think some women are hot, but I'm more into men, like by 90%, if that makes sense. But I just, when I heard that, I was like, oh yeah, I'll just say I'm straight, because I've never, she was like, you can't say you're bisexual unless you would marry a woman. And I was like, I don't even know if I would marry a man. I started having like a meltdown, like a crisis meltdown. And I was like, what am I?
But I have to say though, I have to say like a long time ago, maybe when I first came out of the closet, because I'm still young. When I first came out of the closet, I was like, what is bisexual? I don't get this. And then I just came to the realization that people will just be attracted to who they are attracted to. And that's just how it is. Like, I have no right to tell someone, or I have no authority or anything to tell someone who they should be attracted to and who they shouldn't be attracted to. If you're a man and you're attracted to a man, oh, okay. So you're attracted to a man. If you're a man and you're attracted to both men and women, all right. I mean, obviously, I think it just depends on who sparks your plug more, you know? Like, it's mm-hmm. like, if you're going to be attracted to this man, then be with him. If you're going to be attracted to this woman, then be with the woman. Like, it's just kind of like, and I don't know what Caitlin would say, but I'm kind of like at that point where I'm like, you just go and have fun. Oh my God. Life is so short. If we stopped worrying about labels and just had fun, I'm pretty sure that we would have less world wars. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Like, if everybody just got laid more, we would be so much, this world would be so much better.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Oh God, yeah. Oh but yeah. If people just got laid more and ate what they wanted to, because I think what the real issue in this world is, people who want to eat healthy and have to eat healthy and aren't getting laid. That's where the hangry comes in. Like, that's where the world's, that's where the wars are starting.
If you're not eating carbs, eat dicks.
Yeah. If you're not, eat,
or clicks.
Choose one or the other. You either get sex or food or sex, but you can't go without both, because mm-hmm. then that's where the world wars start. Yeah.
It's just too sad to be hot and like not get sex.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you know. Yeah.
So you were in a 10-year relationship with a person who you said while you were with them was trans.
And then detransitioned.
And then detrans. But that means they just, I'm so dumb. Trans is where you have the operation and then unoperated.
So trans doesn't mean that you necessarily that you had an operation. Some people say that they're trans and maybe they take hormones, but they never do a surgery, or maybe they don't do hormones or surgery, and they can still say that, you know, you're trans. Some people actually, people used to be more sticklers for saying that you're transgender or you're transsexual, depending on whether you've had an operation or not. That's kind of gone by the wayside and people don't really say that anymore. It's mostly just trans is kind of like an umbrella term now for anyone, regardless of whether you're taking those steps or not taking those steps. And I've dated folks who are on hormones, who have had surgeries. And I've also dated folks who are trans and the only thing that they, were experimenting with was presentation in terms of like dress or hair or makeup. Mm-hmm. So the person that I was with for 10 years, was not taking drugs or doing surgeries. They were changing their appearance. But they like went like pretty firm and with like pronoun changes and like public appearance. And they were a high school English teacher. So it was a pretty big deal to be doing what they were doing. And then I think it was more of their own personal, like mental health stuff going on that they just had their gender dysphoria was just all over the place. And then they got to a point where they were like, no, I think I'm non-binary. And then they dropped it all. And then they transitioned back to being a man again. When I dated them during the course of our 10 years together, they went from being a man to a trans woman, to a non-binary person, back to a man. And it was exhausting and hard because it's one thing to go through it as a primary partner to someone, just going through one of those things, never mind like they just couldn't figure out like what felt right to them. And I think that their detransitioning, unfortunately, was more of like a just giving up, because there's so much more at risk for a man to choose to dress feminine. And society is much harder on men being gay and men choosing to be feminine because of the patriarchy and how much we hate women in our society, where it's much easier for Katie, for you, you and I to like, if we wanted to hook up publicly, it's fetishized. Everyone would say that's hot, right? Like you and I being bisexual or queer is like way more acceptable than someone like Oscar. Maybe Oscar potentially had a good experience, but you know, my ex in particular looked like a pervert to a lot of people, like looking for women's clothing as a man.
But see, the thing is also like, I remember, and I don't know if they still use this term anymore, Katie, and Caitlin, or maybe Caitlin, sorry, but I don't know if people use this term, but I remember when they used to say crossdresser.
Right. And
crossdressers necessarily weren't queer. They just liked dressing up in women's clothing.
Right.
I remember I actually learned about what crossdressing was from the Golden Girls.
Oh, but sure, they were saying that in Ireland up until a few years ago. But we are.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Here's the thing is like, you don't really know, and that's the thing, is like, is this person a cross-dresser? Is this person beginning their transgender phase? Like, and I don't know if that's the correct term, and I apologize if it's not, but, you know, are they beginning this or what, you know? So it's almost like, I don't even think people say in America cross-dresser anymore, because they just assume that anybody in either sex is just transitioning or has plans to transition.
But Oscar, you're right though. There are people who are just cross-dressing to cross-dress as like a fun performance, and it has nothing to do with their sexuality.
Right. And the thing is though, is that cross-dressing is different than doing drag. And I think people need to realize that. Is that
tell me what the difference is, Oscar?
I would say that the difference is drag is where you dress up in a performance type state. So if I, as someone who's going to perform as a persona, then I am dressing up as in drag as this. But for someone who is a cross-dresser, they have a psychological need where they wear the opposite sex clothing, and that fulfills a need for them. And that can be all the time, or it can be once in a while, or it can be a certain type of garment. So I think that's the difference. I think to me, drag is more of a performance art.
Mm-hmm. I'm generally because I don't think I really knew the difference.
I mean, I could be shooting from the hip here and I could get canceled tomorrow. I don't know.
That's what, like, because my friend, he's a drag queen, and that's what he would say, that drag is different. It's more like definitely a performance element and more like flashy, whereas cross-dressing is more like Harry Styles going on the whatever magazine and wearing a dress and being like, I like dresses on me. So that is probably would fall into, I think it's just more like we should be able to wear whatever we want. Like I wear man's t-shirts, actually. Now that I think about it, I actively buy male t-shirts, but, you know, in like skinny jeans.
I remember in the 90s, Katie, that women used to wear their men's they used to wear men's button-down shirts as like night garments.
Oh yeah. Or
remember, like, I remember that. Like, remember, I think, what movie was it?
Shania Twain. Remember, she was wearing.
Yeah. So people used, like, I remember women used to dress up in like the men. They would wear their men's their boyfriend's boxers and the button down shirts. And I was, and they were like, oh, it's so comfortable. And I'm like, so.
And, you know, Oscar, they still in women's clothing stores will be like, it's the boyfriend shirt or the boyfriend cut jeans, because they're actually comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, much more comfortable. Well, I'd say, like, the guy I'm seeing now, he's giving me a bunch of t-shirts, and sometimes I'll send like a, you know, it's kind of, it is kind of hot, like wearing his t-shirt and be like, you know, like a picture with my, like my hand in my underwear or something like that while I have his t-shirt on. So,
yeah.
I guess it's like,
yeah, you can keep that to yourself.
Thanks. No, this is what this podcast is all about. Overshare.
Yeah.
I was gonna say there was and like women as well would wear shoulder pads and in office jobs to seem more masculine so they could try and get respect. That's why there was the shoulder pads jackets.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so you could seem more
shoulder pads. They were, I think, the best thing about women's clothing in the 80s and 90s. Like, legit the best thing. Like, shoulder pads, I mean, you could probably put two people on those shoulder pads, because that's how they were.
And so for both of you, whoever wants to go first, but how old were you when you came out, or when you even realized that this was something that you need to come out about?
God, do you have a few years? and let's see, I realized that I liked guys. I realized that I liked guys when I was young. I used to watch rock videos on MTV and I'd be like, oh, I'm attracted to that, but I didn't know what it was. And then I remember I used to be a child model. And I would do a lot of fashion shows, and they would be wedding fashion shows. I remember being backstage and staring at the guys in underwear. And I'd be like, I would like do the quick glances. Mind you, I'm young. I would do the quick glances. And then I would stay up late and I would watch TV shows like Golden Girls or whatever. And then I remember sitting up and, specifically the movie Jeffrey came on. That was the first LGBTQ movie that featured two gay men. And I just remember the main star, he was so hot. And I was like, oh my God, he's so hot. And I thought this to myself. And then I came out, but I didn't come out. I mean, I had three girlfriends.
Oh my God.
Girlfriends in high school. Oh my God, yeah. My girlfriends were gorgeous.
Okay. I bet.
Here's the thing about gay men. Gay men, if they're going to have a girlfriend, they are going to be spectacularly beautiful. Like, we are going like full on Kate Moss kind of, like, my girlfriends were so, right? And then, I mean, it was pointless because I wasn't attracted to them, but I had them. That was the, you know, and then, and then I came out with
Your trophy girlfriends in high school. Yeah.
I mean, it was really hard to have a girlfriend and play that off as I was straight because I was also in a cappella and band and theater and I played the flute. So I'm like, how am I a heterosexual? But by the way, I also play the flute. Like, you know, you could only play it straight for so long until people are going to be like, hey, no, I have a girlfriend. What instrument do you play? The flute? Okay, let's.
Hey, how dykey are these girls now, though? Come on.
They're all straight. They're all straight. I mean, remember, like, I was really sweet and I was, like, adorable in high school. I don't know why they went out with me. Like, I had a unibrow and, like, a size 38 waist. And I had a 5 o'clock shadow when I was 4. So, like, I'm, like, trying to figure out where anybody saw anything in me. And then when I 20 years old is when I finally came out. I came out when I was 20. Yup.
And Well, first of all, my story pales in comparison to that beautiful fucking story. I cannot believe you were doing wedding fashion.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was a child model. I was in a few commercials.
You beautiful bitch. Well, for me, it's not that exciting. I used to get very horny over my mom's mail catalogs for like woman's underwear. Like, I remember like opening up like a Sears catalog. And if there was like even just one page of woman in their underwear and they could be like very mom type ladies, I'd be like, this is the most exciting thing I've ever seen in my life. It's just looking at these women in granny panties. Because I was just very attracted to the female form. And I used to draw really inappropriate pictures of women. I very sexualized pictures of women when I was very little. And I don't know what the reference point would be besides the fact that I was just inherently attracted to women. But then I was like, I thought I was asexual in high school because I wasn't attracted to anyone. I didn't want to date anyone. People were attracted, men and women would ask me out in high school. And I was just like, no, I don't like anyone here. And then this young girl transferred to our school. And I'll never forget her because she was like very masculine and she would wear these like chain chokers and was like very alternative and rough, but she was a cheerleader and she was like, so she had this like gender mashup that I was so attracted to because I was like, oh, you're like doing this very mainstream corny thing, but you're doing it on your terms and you're like kind of butch in like your presentation. And the gender confusion of like the masculine cheerleader, I was like, oh, you're the first person that I actually want to date. And then I realized I'm too old. Like queer was not a thing when I was in high school. So I came out as bisexual when I was 15 years old. But I wasn't dating. I was like, for all intents and purposes, I was a virgin. I wasn't kissing anyone. I didn't date until I went to college because I think I was looking for like I was saying, like like, unfortunately, I mean, if queer stuff existed at that time, it didn't exist in the little suburban town that I lived in. So when I went to college, I started to meet people in Albany, New York, which is not a cool city, but it was more of a city than where I came from. And then I got into like gay culture slowly. But
Caitlin, when did you lose your virginity?
I was 19.
Really?
I was
29.
I didn't have my first orgasm until I was 30. I didn't masturbate till I was 30.
Oh, girl, please. I started that young. No, but I didn't. I lost my virginity. Well, so now here's the thing, because gay men are always like, well, what kind of virginity was that? And I'm always like, well, the anal kind. Like, I did not lose my virginity until I was 29. I mean, I've done other stuff. But to me, like, being a virgin meant going all the way, like, because, you know, that's just how it is. So yeah, I didn't lose them until I was 29 years old.
And did you have relationships?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Like, no. No.
So you never had someone that you had committed to, maybe that you were comfortable doing that until you're 29, was it?
No, I just never really got into it. And then this guy was like, I want you to do it with me. And I was so attracted to him. It took 3 seconds. I was disappointed. It took 3 seconds.
Wait, you mean, oh, because you came in 3 seconds?
No, he did. And then he was like, okay, I'm done. And I was like, but I'm still here.
Oh, I have so many questions to ask both of you now. But wait, first. Yeah,
so I was the top and he was the bottom.
Yeah.
And so he got on top of me, started riding me. He came in like legit a minute, I think, and then got off and was like, yeah, I'm done. And I was like, oh.
But okay. You had rode other guys.
No, I've never bottomed.
You've never, wait, bottom is where you put your penis in their asshole, right?
No.
Bottom is receiving.
You had been the top. When I say ride, I mean like you had stuck it in arseholes before you were 29.
No.
Oh, okay, you hadn't.
Yeah. I've never bought. I've never been the catcher. And the first time I was a pitcher.
I'm so confused. Okay, sorry. Hold on. Let's reel it back.
Okay, I'll say this. I was the top.
You were the top. So you were putting your penis in that guy's arsehole.
Yes.
That's a top. Okay. And so when you were 29, you hadn't done that up until you were 29.
Yeah.
You just done blowjobs and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, now I understand. But now you're saying you still have never received.
Yeah.
In the arsehole.
I've tried and nope, just doesn't work.
Okay, so but you know that I just heard about this recently about douching. So.
Oh yeah, like I would love to. Oh my God, let me tell you something. Being gay is exhausting, okay? Not only do we have to look a certain way, do we have to dress a certain way, but now we have to clean out our orifices, okay? I am legit exhausted of being gay. I just want to, like, marry a slice of pizza. That's literally what I want to do, okay?
How do you douche, though? How do you...
Several different, now here's the thing, I have tried that, okay? There's several different techniques, okay? The best thing to do is obviously you also want to make sure that you eat healthy. And if you know you're going to do that, you want to make sure that you try and eat light that day, okay? So if you say, oh, I'm going to have a hookup later on tonight, eat light. Don't eat, like, don't go out and have, like, you know, chicken tikka masala. Or Chipotle, right? Maybe you hold off on that. Maybe you go and get just salad. Or maybe you just go to, you know, Pret a Manger and get a nice croissant, right? Or maybe Tesco, right? In the UK, you guys have Tesco. In Ireland, is that what you have? You have Tesco?
Yeah,
you go get a nice little small side salad, right? And then what you do is you can do it several different ways. There is attachments that you can buy online and they will send it to you, and those are actually really good because it actually uses the water from your shower. So there's attachments for like shower douches, and then there's also fleet enemas where you stick it up inside you. You're not in the shower, but you stick it up inside you, and then the best way is you stick it up inside you, you squeeze it, and then you roll around on the floor. And like you like jump up a few times, you roll around the floor a little bit, you try and like move your body so that it moves around your system. Because remember, it has to get in there. And then you release and then you continuously do it until you're clear, until it comes out clear at least 2 or 3 times.
Jesus. Like I'm guys have asked me to do anal before, and like I would have never washed out my, I haven't done it, but I wouldn't have known to wash out my ass.
You know what's easier? Moving in New York City. That's easier than like trying to go through passport control without a passport. That is easier than having anal sex.
Jesus, it is a whole preparation. Yeah.
I've had anal sex and I've never douched.
Oh, well, excuse us.
No, I think that
excuse us, Miss Rosie Clean Cheeks over here.
The only person I did it with, their penis was so small, I think that they couldn't really move anything around anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I've IBS though, so if they stick it up there, it'll be like a floodgate, I feel. Oh no.
Well, here's the thing, like obviously, you know, when there's, if you go to the bathroom, there's gonna be poo residue. Mm. in your anal cavity. So, you know, it's always best to try, at least if you know that, like, people are going to try something, maybe stick a finger or two up there and try and, you know, clean a little bit.
Guys finger my arse all the time. I've never douched. Oh, well, whatever.
Are you guys more of like sexually open than I am? This is so weird.
I mean, a finger in the arse.
I have gone down on women who have stinky pussies though. And I, in fact, one time a woman, her puss was so stink that I just like stopped almost immediately. I stopped eating her out almost immediately and she was still into it, but I was worried. It was so bad that I was like, is she keto? Like, why is it like, well, I've never, it's like very rare of like all the pussies that I've eaten. It's like almost always, it's like amazing. And there's different smells and tastes, but like, it's never bad. This was the only time that it was like truly foul. And I became hypersensitive because I went through two partners in a row where they were like very stingy with eating me out. And I was like, did I get a stinky pussy? So then I started taking probiotics because I was like very self-conscious that I was like stinky girl. I don't think I am. I think I just had two selfish lovers back to back who were fucking lazy.
That's it. You can taste your own pussy though. I've tasted mine.
Yeah, I mean, I've never smelled, like, I have a good sense of smell and I've never smelled anything.
Oh, you're fine.
You know when you have your period and like you go to do stuff and you're like, it just has that like period funk.
Yeah.
Like, so I feel like I would smell it if it got genuinely stinky, but.
And vaginas have a smell and they have a taste.
Yeah.
But like a whack smell is like, she probably just had like she probably needs to go to the doctor. You know, like if it's like, but you didn't say it to her.
She wanted to hook up again and I didn't want to. So it ended up being just a one night stand.
Yeah. I'd like, I know it seemed like it had hurt her feelings, but you'd love to say it just so she knew. You'd hate to be going around. So she probably just needs to go to the doctor. It's probably like, you know what it could be as well. She could be, sometimes they say like, because it's a self-cleaning organism. Is that right? Organism. Yeah. Organ. I don't know what the word is.
Organism.
Is it?
It sounds right.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Okay, cool. So sometimes if people are like washing it too much, soaping it up down there, it can be bad for the vag and set off the pH and stuff. So you wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah. Well, God, I'm going to taste my vagina after this. I'm worried now.
Yeah, you can text Caitlin that. I'll pass on that.
I think it's great. Wait, and so,
that's group chat material.
Yeah, we can tell you. Wait, so I'm going to put it in the Instagram message. I do want to circle back to Caitlin. You said you didn't masturbate until you were 30. Because I didn't masturbate until I moved to here, but it's just because I didn't really know it was a thing I should be doing. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's the best thing I ever did. And how come you didn't masturbate until you were 30?
I had a really abusive father. And I kind of hated... My dad was a womanizer and so was my brother growing up, and they were both not good guys in my life. And so I think I had a little bit of self-hatred for myself being so attracted to women because I didn't want to be like the two toxic guys in my family. Like I didn't want to share that in common that like I too was attracted to women. So I couldn't bring myself to watch pornography with women, and I think I had a lot of shame about it. And for some reason, when my dad died, I felt very free to, it was like, I don't know. I just stopped comparing myself to him and I just knew that I would like never disrespect women or treat them the way he did. And that I could be sexually, I don't know. I just like, it was like a thing. Unfortunately, it took my dad dying to do that. But then once he died, I like felt comfortable, like really just enjoying pleasure with women, and that's what really gets me off. And so I started exploring like masturbation, and I mean I enjoyed the sex that I had, and I think I had like small orgasms, but I didn't start really masturbating and understanding like what I could do by myself until I was 30. And then I invested in like toys, and like now it's like, no, I don't even think about it, but I was a very late bloomer for those reasons, because like I had hangups.
Yeah. I actually masturbated a lot when I was younger. I find it to be, You know, I find it to be very cathartic. I find it to be very almost euphoric. And, you know, there were times when I was younger, when, you know, you didn't have the apps that you have now where you can just go out and hook up. I mean, I was probably, I mean, there were times when I used to masturbate 4 or 5 times a day. And I actually think that, you know, I think masturbation is healthy in moderation, you know, like it's healthy in moderation. 1, 2, 3 times a day, 2 is fine. I think it's actually healthy. You know, it helps relieve stress. I think it's very healthy. You know, people are, I will say though, that like, you know, it has kind of hindered my dating life. Because I like a certain type of porn, and that is not marriage material. Like,
okay, wait, explain to us.
So I'm very much like rugged, like almost straight-ish masculine, because I grew up very masculine men. Like I grew up around this whole like bro mentality a lot, especially in high school. And I was always attracted to that. So I continued that by seeing that on screen. And even like now to like, you know, I grew up with the whole thinking that the more masculine was attractive. And that's why a lot of times I don't watch gay porn. I watch straight porn. Because the men, to me, as a mental thing, are more masculine. They're more rugged. They're more, you know, they're tough. And it's something that I idolize because I've never been that. So I fantasize about that. But I have to remember that finding someone like that in the gay world is like 1 out of 1,000,000. And that hinders my dating life, because I fantasize about that and that's what I want, but then it's not necessarily what you're going to end up with. So I would say porn is great in moderation. Make sure that you're also checking in with reality.
It's so easy to get porn brain where like then you can't come to like to actual sex, or like because you're just so used to like these certain things that like either are really difficult to replicate in real life or totally.
Oh yeah, definitely. Trust me. I've had some problems where like, you know, guys who are absolutely very beautiful. And I mean, I'm like, I'm not bragging because I've had maybe 1 out of the 20 years that I've been, you know, out of the closet, and I'm only, 30. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, even the very handsome, good looking men who I've had the pleasure of being with, sometimes it does nothing for me because they don't have this persona, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, actually, what's interesting is I look at men and their physical attributes are kind of important to me. But for me, I'm very much about their confidence. I almost like guys a little cocky. I like men who are confident, a little cocky. They have swagger. Which is actually a term that came from the UK.
Oh,
I used to say put a little swagger in it. I remember watching Keeping Up Appearances and Hyacinth Bouquet, the Bouquet residence, the lady of the house speaking. She would say to Richard, "Put a little swagger in it, Richard." And so that's inevitably where that word came from, was swag, and that's confidence, right? Mm. And that's what attracts me. And I think what happens is this is just my opinion only, is that why a lot of times gay men idolize or fantasize about straight men is because they have this swagger and confidence that they don't have.
Mm.
Right?
Sometimes you meet, like I've dated a lot, I'm very attracted to like that, like masculine, confident, cool type of guy, but they turn out to be kind of like a bit narcissist, or it's all kind of a show. And then you get to know them and you're like, whoa, you're not confident or cool at all after a couple of months, you know? So it's like also finding one who it's not a show. Like sometimes it is just a pretense that.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, I don't know. I mean, you know, Caitlin, I don't know what your experiences have been, but you know, it's like, and I'm not saying that for all gay men. I'm not saying that all gay men think like that, but I am saying that a lot of times from what I've heard through other friends is that gay men sometimes have that idolization of straight men because they don't give a shit. And gay men do. Like straight men don't, straight guys don't give a shit. They don't, I mean, now they kind of do, but before, straight guys were like, I don't give a shit what I look like. I don't care what kind of shoes I wear. I don't care what kind of pants I wear. But now, so that's why, yeah.
Sorry.
So now that's why it's kind of like we're gay men. You know, they like that. They like that I don't care attitude.
Yeah. But there is more, what is the term? Like there's more straight gay men, you know, like gay men who are gay, but they don't come across as gay, if that makes sense. Don't shoot me.
I don't know if I would say straight gay. I would say they, you know, there's so many different types of personalities in gay culture, right? Yeah.
What is the term for it though? Because I remember my friend saying there was that it became more socially accepted for men to be like, okay, but I don't want to, like, what I don't know what the term is. I don't get in trouble because I feel like I'm gonna say
it. I mean, honestly, I don't even know what the term is sometimes. I just know that there's masculine gay men,
yeah,
you know, and then there's effeminate gay men, yeah. And you know, people get angry sometimes because they're like, well, I only like masculine guys, or I mean remember, we're all going through something in life and we all have a reason for why we want what we want. It's just how it is.
Yeah, of course. You're allowed to have a type. You're allowed to be into what you're into.
As long as you're not, like, as long as you're not, you know, out here saying, you know, derogatory racist things.
Right.
As long as you're not saying derogatory racist things or you're making people feel less than because of who they are in their background. Then I would say, you know, if you like a guy who wears nail polish and you only want a guy who wears nail polish, then so be it. Have fun, enjoy. I have gotten to the point now where if you are a religious person and you pray to a tree out in the front yard of your home, and that tree gives you faith and that tree gives you hope, girl, go on and do it. Have fun. Pray to that tree. As long as you don't make me pray to that tree, I don't care what you do.
But what you're saying you want, there is more. There is lots of masculine gay men, right?
I think there's a lot of everybody. Yeah. And in like as in such with the lesbian community and with the gay community and with every community under the LGBTQIA+. You know, umbrella, there is a smattering and a sprinkle, and it's like glitter. There's, you know, no one, it's like snowflakes. No one snowflake is alike, right? And so that's just how it is. And like, you'll find your attractiveness to where it is. I don't know. I'm so off topic.
No, but you were worrying that you, because you like this kind of straight porn, that you won't find a man. Like, it seems like you sound like you like a man who's very like masculine and maybe like is like, doesn't really say that he's gay or something. Is that the impression that I'm getting? I don't know.
You know, I think, I don't know, Caitlin. Tell me what you think. Is there a difference between a gay man and a man who is gay?
No, but what I'm saying is wait,
Caitlin.
I don't know what you're getting at with this, Oscar.
Yeah, you were saying afraid that you won't, hold on.
I'm still gonna get canceled.
Stop, it's like, fine. It's like,
it's him.
Stop,
like,
stop.
No, I literally just don't, I'm not following.
wait, let me talk. You said you're worried that you couldn't find a man to marry because you're into these like very masculine, you're into like straight
men. I'm worried about that. What I'm saying is that.
Because what I'm saying is there's a lot of men like that.
I'm going back to what Caitlin said, is that make sure that the porn or the fantasy that you have can also be realistic. So then that way, when you do find someone or find something that you enjoy, that it's you can have that relatable experience. You don't want to go through, you know, life and only pleasure yourself to one thing and one thing only, and then good people come along,
right?
And you can't be with them because of a certain thing that you've consistently taught your brain to get pleasure from. That's what I'm saying. So If you could just delete the last 15 minutes of
sure. Oh, Oscar.
Because every gay man in Ireland is going to be like, that fucking queen.
No, it's fine. And I think it is fine to be like, okay, there's people who identify as a certain thing, but don't fall into the stereotypes. Like, I'm Irish. I don't drink every fucking night. I think I'm straight, but I like fancy women and masturbate to them. So am I straight? You know, probably not. I'm like somewhere in there. If there's a word for 10% not straight, that's me.
But, I don't know. I don't know, Caitlin, what do you think? I don't know. I feel like it's just like now there's like someone for everyone.
Yeah. And I don't even think we need to find necessarily like, I mean, I understand, I think, where this conversation is coming from, but like, I don't know that we even need a term for that. To me, I just think like, I've always thought of it as like, oh, some gay men are just more flamboyant than others. Mm-hmm. And some just like, in the same way that some people, like with the trans thing, like I tend to be attracted more to trans men than trans women in my own dating history for whatever reason. And what I find is that I've dated people who are like, they are trans men, but they don't want to be called a trans man. They just want to be a man and act like a man in society. And there are other people who are like, no, my trans experience is important. It's an important part of my label. It's an important part of like how I want you to treat me. And I think that that's probably the same for gay men too.
I don't date gay men.
So I think there's probably some men that are just like, yeah, I'm just a guy living my life. I happen to have sex with other men. And there's other people who are like, oh, like gay is a, like the gay part of me is an actual part of my identity. Like I have an aunt who's a lesbian and you would never know that she's a lesbian unless you met her wife, because everything about the way that she dresses and her life, she's never been to a gay pride parade in her life. Like she could give a shit about gay culture. She just happens to fuck her wife.
Yeah. And I think that's what I was getting to, is that there are men who are gay and then there are gay men. So I know guys, I know men who are like, yeah, I like guys, but that lifestyle and
right.
Everything about the gay lifestyle does not direct who they are. And then there are gay men who that lifestyle or our lifestyle is very much a part of who we are. We go out to the bars, we go out to the parties, we're at gay pride, we're at all these parties, you know, we're doing all these things. So I wanted to make sure that I was respectful, and thank you, Caitlin, for helping me.
Sorry, I wasn't following it first, honey.
Huh?
I just wasn't following it first.
Oh, no, she just wanted me to fall first. No! That's all. No, you can take the blame first. You dig yourself a hole, girlfriend.
It's fine. Our listeners are super sweet as well. They know we're all just trying to figure shit out and just like, you know. But like, I did hear recently about someone saying, so one of my friends, he's gay, but he's not into gay culture. Does that make sense? Okay. Mm-hmm. And it annoys him that when people meet him, they're very shocked that he's gay. And he's like, what, you want me to fucking, you know, like, do I have to show it in the way that I present myself? He's like, they get surprised that he has a husband, let's say. But we were having a conversation and I can't remember the exact words, but something about how it's becoming more and more accepted for like this sort of men who are gay, but who aren't into gay culture. If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, you know, what's interesting. I actually remember Catherine Tate and she did a sketch. Oh my God.
Now you're canceled.
And she was like, have you heard about her son, John? He's a gay man now, right? And it's based in Ireland. And the thing is, though, is that I think so. My God, I'm so going to get canceled. And so what happened was, is that this guy was just a normal guy. And if you watch this skit, you will see that people now assume that he knows how to do fashion. He knows how to do curtains. And this guy's like, no. And that's the thing. It's like, what happened was, I'm so sorry, Caitlin. I'm going to take a few seconds here.
No.
So what happened was, is Ellen DeGeneres came out of the closet on TV. It was a very bad thing because people were not okay with homosexuality. And I include lesbians and everybody in that because that's what they said at that time. They were not okay with homosexuality, right? It was a serious topic. people never do well when you have to approach things in a serious way. Now, when Will and Grace came out, they had a balance. They had someone like Jack, and then they had someone like Will.
Yeah.
And Jack was the very flamboyant, overly, over the top, everything. And I actually remember that there was backlash against Jack because people were like, how dare you stereotype gay people like Jack? But the thing is, though, is that what's been so known about gay men is that we are flamboyant out there, you know, waving pride flags and this and that. But what people haven't been able to see a lot of is gay men who are just regular men, mm-hmm. in the sense of living a lifestyle where they're not celebrating pride and this and that in a stereotypical way. I have to remember, mm-hmm. I have to be so careful of what I say. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, is like they're not. There are gay men who are just men who are like, yeah, that's what it is. And I think because society has told people, this is what gay men are. Mm-hmm. This is what gay men are. If you know someone like this, they are most likely gay. So when your friend introduces himself and they're like, oh, I'm gay, people are going to be like, oh, really? Because he's not leading that lifestyle, mm-hmm. that other people would assume that he would because of what they've seen on TV and in the media. So you should actually tell your friend to watch that skit from Catherine Tate.
Yeah, I should. Also as well, Schitt's Creek. I'm actually wearing the shirt. Ew, David. That was a great show for showing these different types of relationships, let's say. And I remember that, I'm not sure if I want to say it right, but the LGBTQ community coming out and saying like how happy they were with the show because there was never an issue. There was never like this struggle with the fact that they're gay. And then, you know, the boyfriend, not what's his name, David, is, you know, basically what you're saying, kind of, I don't want to say like a straight gay man, but I don't know what proper term to say, but he doesn't fall into gay culture.
He's just a regular guy. And I hate
the guy
see, the thing is that it's like, I think Caitlin, you know, having your background, you can talk about this as well, is that there are women who like assuming that just because you aren't dressed with your hair cut, mm-hmm. a short, and you're not wearing boots and driving a Subaru, oh well then you're a lesbian. What? No, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know what I mean? I don't know, Caitlin. You know?
No, exactly. And it's, you know, it's good conversations to have, I hope, if we don't get all cancelled. Caitlin won't though. She's been quiet the whole time. It'll be me and you. We'll be gone.
I'm happy to weigh in on anything. Like I was just saying, I think the equivalent is like the example I was just giving about my aunt. But I've also personally gone through, I mean, like I've always struggled with, I think I've always wanted to have gay pride. I just didn't like the examples that I had because my personality is not rainbows. Like I'm a dry, sarcastic, funny kind of person. And so, and I'm kind of quiet. So the idea of like the kind of gay folks that I met in high school and college, it was like their version of gay was like way too much. I'm like, no, I want to wear like black combat boots and like a beanie. I don't want to like wear rainbow suspenders and like have my tits pierced with like little like rainbow fucking buttons or some shit on them. I don't know. I just know that like what I was seeing, I was like, whoa, that I'm not attracted to that. And it's like, just not the kind of people I want to hang out with, even though I'm sure they're lovely people. And then, I think like it's cool when you can find if you get the luxury, if you're not like in a rural part of America or wherever, and you can actually like be in a culture of like, oh, cool, there's like lots of different gays here and they all dress differently and act differently. And like you can find people that are like more your style.
I think that's very true. And I think that's the thing that like, you know, the media and entertainment has really defined sometimes what mm-hmm. certain communities are.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's and it's a blessing, but it can also be a hindrance. Mm-hmm. Because there are people out there who are just like Will Truman from Will and Grace,
yeah.
Who just are They're like, I go to work. I like men. That's it.
Yeah.
You'll rarely see that on TV because it doesn't draw entertainment. It doesn't have an entertainment value, right? Yeah. And I think even with Modern Family, you know, Cam and his lover, they were a little bit flamboyant because they need to have, there needs to be an entertainment value mm-hmm. to it, right? There has to be some kind of like entertainment. If you really want to see like a good gay couple, I always thought was 6 Feet Under. Now, I don't know if you remember that show, but 6 Feet Under had a very, they had a good two gay men who were represented as just normal guys.
Yes.
That was such a good show.
Or Four Weddings and a Funeral. They never actually address that their couple are gay. They don't make a big deal out of it. It's not like this is anything different. This is normal. And I think that was very ahead of its time for the times whenever it was made, because that's an old movie, right?
Yeah, Four Weddings and a Funeral. And that's interesting. You know, I remember I went to school for television writing and producing. And I remember my script writing teacher, she said to me, she was like, the only way that you will get people to accept taboos is by making them laugh. She was like, people will laugh, and then that's how you can get people to accept things. Yeah. She was like, if you have to push it as a serious subject, it's going to be a lot harder. But if you can make fun of it, is when people will start accepting it. That's why when Ellen came out, it was such a no-no. But then when Jack was on TV, people were like, oh my God, I have a friend just like him. Oh, I know someone just like him. He's so sweet and he's so funny and this and that. And now it's acceptable because you can laugh almost at them along with them, but you're more laughing at them.
Can I ask you a side question before we go, before we wrap this up? Is there anything you would have like, any tips for someone who is new to sex, maybe? Like, I would say for me, like, one of my things I learned on the podcast was masturbating, and like, I always push that, and so that's something I can share. Is there anything you guys can share for maybe like, if there was like a young person listening to this who's deciding to come out or like try different test out their sexuality, is that the right way to say it? Any tips, any advice? I think I can smell my pussy.
Stop.
Caitlin, you want to go first?
Sure. I mean, I would say it's hard because it's so broad, but I would say like good rule of thumb is just to be mindful. Don't make any assumptions about like what feels good for a partner. Just like talk to people, like just it's fun. It's like, I think like people get so wrapped up in like, oh my God, I have to have a conversation about consent. It's like, no, you just like ask people what feels good and like be open. And it's hard to say this during a pandemic, but I think like just be open to meeting and talking to different kinds of people in real life, because some of the people that I've ended up having like the most interesting or like open-minded sex with, where I feel like I've learned the most about myself or I've like explored new kinks that I didn't know that I had, were with partners that I've always been open-minded about like age, gender, like I haven't had hangups about dating people a lot older, a lot younger than me. I've just kind of like led with, where is the chemistry? Who am I having fun with? And I also don't make sometimes this is like a thing I'm discovering about myself, that a lot of times when I first go on a date with someone, I'm not that attracted to them a lot of times. And then by like the second or third day, I'm so into their personality that I'm like insanely attracted to them. So a thing, I think like this is very cliche, but I think my best experiences have been for me giving people a shot that I wouldn't have automatically thought that I was attracted to, or that were like my quote unquote deal. So yeah, just be open to having new experiences with new people and treating people with respect and consent and have fun. And you'll if nothing else, you'll have really fun stories about the bad sex that you have too.
I think that's great advice about giving someone a chance, because most people be like, ah, if you're not into them straight away, move on. But you can really build up an attraction, and then you can have like a super fiery attraction, and then you get to know them and you're like, oh my God, I'm totally turned off.
My best sex is with people that I trust more than anything, because I don't think anyone shows their authentic self and vulnerability until you really trust someone. And oftentimes the kind of people that for me to really trust maybe aren't the people that like I'm gonna like gawk at because I'm horny for them down the street. But like once I get to know them, I've been more attracted to them than I could ever have imagined. And it's because, at least for me, personality like does really matter about how, I mean, it is true for everyone, but I think I'm learning, this is something I've been realizing lately, that like personality actually means more than I thought that it did.
I have to say, like, for me, personality is key. You know, as a young gay man, I just remember, like, when I came out, you know, I just remember I...
Oh, I thought you were saying now that you're a young gay man. Sorry, that's when I was.
Yeah, I mean, like, oops, Freudian slip. Like, I'm a young gay man. No, honestly, I think when you come out of the closet or as you experience your sexuality, be confident in who you are, because someone will always find you attractive.
Yes.
Mm. If someone that you like does not find you attractive, it's not you, it's them. Remember that. It is them. It is their preference. It's just how it is. I think also, don't be a flake. Gay men, I love them, but so many of them are flakes. And don't be a flake. You'll get more respect and you'll be respected more, and you'll respect yourself more if you can just be open and honest. Like, I've met guys on apps and I wasn't into it, and I just was like, hey, listen, I'm not feeling it. Don't, you know, it's just how it is. I think also be careful. You know, if you can, I would say talk to your doctor, maybe get on PrEP. If it's something that you think you should, if you feel like you are becoming sexually promiscuous, make sure that you get on PrEP. As a gay man, I'm on it. I've been on it for, I think, 5 years. I'm very happy that I got on it. But also be careful, ask questions, know who your partners are. You know, random sex is fun, but also maybe take the time to have some fun afterwards too. Cuddling is great, you know? Like, cuddling is great. I mean, obviously you want him out of your apartment after like 5 hours. I'm like, oh, get out. But I don't know. You know, it's just, I would say, if I could tell my younger self something, if I could give myself, if I could give my younger self a piece of advice, it would just be confident in who you are. That is what it will attract people to you. Just be confident. Because you are you, and as cliche as it sounds, because I know Caitlin talked about it as well, is just be yourself.
Yeah.
And people will be yourself, and people will be attracted to that. I cannot tell you that I will walk down the street and I will feel so unattractive, but I can walk down the street like I am attractive, and you'd be surprised at who will look at me, even though I don't feel like it.
I just like, I do like solo eps just for the Patreon, then this is for the regular podcast, but I just spoke about that on it, and how when someone is like so insecure, because the things we think about ourselves, no one else thinks that. So when someone projects that on me, I'm like, well, I never in my wildest dream even thought like those things. I never thought those bad things about you. And it's like, yeah, there's something about how if you just are like, you just show your real self, it's so much more attractive. But when someone's not being authentic and they're pretending to be someone else to impress you, it's like way less attractive, I think. Like, if you're not funny, don't be funny. That's way better than the person pretending to be funny.
Like, okay, is that directed at me? Is Katie like, if you pretending to be funny, maybe you shouldn't
it's men are dated.
I understand that. I'm done here. I've been canceled. I'm done. I'm not done. I'm done.
You're so funny. Stop.
I love both of you.
Me too. I think this is great. Where can people find you guys? I need to go smell my vagina.
They'll find me in the bathroom after this.
Rolling around, doing the douching.
You can find me on Instagram. On Instagram, it's Oscar Aiden. On Twitter, My handle is I Have GayDHD. And then I am starting a podcast myself called GayDHD. So you can also find that on me on there too as well. Thanks.
Great. And Caitlin?
I'm on all the socials at the Caitlin Reese with a C for Caitlin, CAITLINREESE. You can listen to me doing stand up on Spotify. I'm on a compilation album there. And I have a podcast called Straight Guys, which is a queer comedy podcast that I do with another queer woman. And we bring on queer folks and riff on stuff. So anyway, those are all my things. This has been amazing though. Thank you so much for having me.
Caitlin is brilliant. She is amazing.
Thank you. I love you, Oscar.
I love you too.
Okay. Love me as well.
We love you too.
We love Katie.
Calm down, Katie. Calm down.
I'm secure.
God, be secure in who you are, Katie. Jeez, you need validation from two fabulous gay people. God.
Okay, this was amazing. I'm going to end it now and say thank you. How do I speak?
Actually, because this might sound really dumb, what I'm about to say. But I think for me, as a 30-year-old woman who's just gotten very comfortable with sex with men, when I was very attracted, I would be attracted to like this girl who kind of like came on to me is definitely like what my type would be if I were into, well, I guess I am into. But I bottled it before we went home because I just thought, at the time, I think I was 29 and I was just like, I've just figured out how to use a penis. I don't know how to fucking eat a vag. I don't know if scissoring is real. I don't watch porn. I don't know. I just was like, I don't know what to do. And it just was felt like too much to try and learn now.
I would say find someone you're comfortable with. If you find someone that you're comfortable with, like if you would have talked to her, 9 times out of 10, people will be like, cool, let's try and see how it goes together. I think the fear that you might have had was the fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. And that unknown stopped you. Whereas if you would have maybe taken that opportunity to actually get to know that person could have guided you through that experience, which would have made it a lot more less scary. So I would have said maybe not jump into a full-fledged sexual experience with them, but maybe talk to them and say, listen, this is new to me. And you would have to be, you know, it's a very trusting thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's I don't want to out the, I'm not going to out the person, but there's a lesbian comedian in New York City who during the pandemic has been hooking up with a woman who is new to hooking up with women. And so it has taken some teaching, but also like, honestly, it takes teaching, particularly when you're having sex with women, I think there's not one move for everybody, where I think like when you're sucking dicks, you can pretty much, there's not that much variation. There's a lot of variation in individuality.
Okay, they don't call it a job for nothing. All right, Caitlin, like, calm down here. They don't call that shit a job for nothing, but keep going. Listen,
it takes, like, I have found that every single woman that I've had sex with, it does matter that I have experience that helps, but it's like, everyone is so different. I think that women are so different in how they get off that like, it almost doesn't matter that you don't have experience to like, let that intimidate you, because it's all about like learning the way that they, just like how I'm sure you've learned yourself. Like, it's funny, my best friend and I, who are both gay women, like we were just talking about how like, for me, I like, you have to go to the left of my clit. You can't be on my clit to make me come. And for her, she can't come from being on her clit. You have to go to the right of her clit. And so like, you know, there's like this little, like, you just have to learn that by just kind of like having fun with someone. And I think you'll be surprised how intuitive it is when you're doing it. Like, and like the people give you feedback and you can ask for feedback. And
yeah, if you're with someone, don't be afraid to ask.
That you like, then it's like, who cares? Like, you're just having fun and like seeing what feels good.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, I've told guys, stop using your teeth. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, stop using your teeth. Okay. Like, relax. Or usually what I'm like is open wider. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, well, then maybe we should stop. So, yeah. No, I think it just, yeah. Well, then, okay, well, maybe this isn't a calling for you, okay? John, maybe this is not your calling. Maybe you just not. Or you file your teeth down, I don't know. Let's figure it out. No, but I think, here's the thing. You know, to go back to your listeners, Katie, I think it's really important that people just feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And trust. Trust is a big thing. And I know Caitlin can talk about this, but you have to have trust with your partner. If you don't have trust with the person that you're with, it's going to be real awkward. And it can also almost feel like it can damage you mentally.
Katie, what's your type of woman?
She was this very curly-haired, blonde, but Latina.
Ooh.
I kind of look like Shakira, actually. So, I should have had her.
I mean, I think just go with it. Next time you meet someone, exchange numbers and have fun and just be like, and see which way the wind blows. And you never know. And, if anything, you make a good friend out of it.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's just because you do so much experimenting when you're younger, like 15 to 20 or whatever, that it just feels like being back at that age again, like clumpy and awkward and not knowing. But yeah, I think your advice was great, and it's good for people to hear who are maybe questioning trying something different.
Oh my gosh, I can't.
I don't think it'll be as clunky as you think it's going to be, though, because sexual experience is sexual experience. So it's not, you're not a 15-year-old virgin like unbuttoning pants for the first time. Like, you, a sexual experience counts, like even if it's with different genders. And I think that, I think if you just go into it with the right mindset of like, this is just going to be fun and my goal is to make her feel amazing, then like, you're not going to fuck up.
Yeah. I've been with hundreds of men, thousands of men, hundreds of thousands of men. I can honestly say, I hope my mother doesn't listen to this podcast, but I can honestly say like every sexual experience is different. Every sexual experience. Yeah.
I've been with a lot of men and that's so true. Like a lot.
That's why I'm on this podcast. Okay.
So again, just a huge thank you to Caitlin and Oscar, especially for their patience with me and some of my questions. But absolutely love them. They were just brilliant and so open and honest, and really lucky to have gotten them on. I'm very excited about the next few guests. So if you have any questions for Barry with the She Comes First book, let us know. Like, that's now, of course, if his friends and family don't talk about it doing the podcast, but so far we're all good. And then the sex therapist will be Wednesday, and then I already did the episode with the boys from the Asian Not Asian podcast, but so that, like I said, is up on the Patreon. So yeah, if you can sign up to the Patreon, it's pay what you want, and there's tons of stuff there, and there's the solo eps every week where I just talk about the trials and tribulations, is that how you say it? Trials and tribulations of dating in a pandemic and in New York, two nightmares. So and then just like, mental health and all of that. So I just ramble on about that for an hour each Sunday. And if you could also, share, rate, review, all of that, because it helps a lot. It really does. And even if you don't have, if you're on Spotify, just take a screenshot and send it into all your WhatsApp groups. No, I'm going to be asking, stick it on your story if you can and tag me. That'd be great. And look, if you can't and you're like, fuck off, Kate, I don't want to do that. Also, just thanks so much for listening to the podcast as usual. I really appreciate it. And I hope you have a lovely week. And I'll talk to you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.